Chapter 17. Inspector Slack came round to see me the next morning.
"Well, sir," he said, "I found out about that telephone call that you received."
"And?"
"It's rather strange. It was put through from the North Lodge of Old Hall. The place is empty, but a window was open. There were no fingerprints on the telephone because it had been cleaned. That tells us something."
"What?"
"It shows that call was made deliberately to get you out of the house. So the murder was planned. If the call had just been a joke, the fingerprints would not have been wiped off so carefully."
"I understand."
"And I found out something else. You remember Mrs. Price Ridley's complaint about that call to her house?"
"Yes."
"Well, we tracked it. And do you know where it came from? Mr. Lawrence Redding's cottage."
"What?"
I said. "But it wasn't Mr. Redding who made the call. At that time, 6:30, he was on his way to the Blue Boar with Dr. Stone. So someone walked into the empty cottage and used the telephone. That's two strange telephone calls in one day, and I bet they were made by the same person."
"Why?"
"Well, first Mr. Redding's pistol, then his telephone. Someone's trying to make him look guilty."
"So why was the first call not made from his cottage?" I asked.
"Ah, what did Mr. Redding do most afternoons? He went up to Old Hall and painted Miss Prothero's picture. And from his cottage, he would go through the North Gate. Now you see why the call was made from there."
I thought for a moment. "Were there any fingerprints on Mr. Redding's phone?"
"There were not," said the inspector crossly. "That old woman who cleans for him wiped them off yesterday morning. But if only that shot hadn't come just at the end of the call, well, I'd know where to look."
"Where?"
"Well, what about the lady who called on Colonel Prothero the night before the murder?"
"Mrs. Lestrange!" I cried.
"Yes,"
the inspector said.
"Suppose Mrs. Lestrange had successfully blackmailed Prothero in the past. Then, years later, she hears that he is living in this village, so comes down here and tries it again. But perhaps this time he says he will go to the police, so she kills him."
I said,
"Inspector, Mrs. Lestrange is not the kind of person to blackmail someone. She's, well, she's a lady." "Well, sir, you are a vicar," he said, "so you don't know much about the world. Lady, indeed. That woman could push a knife into you without feeling anything."
Strangely, I could imagine Mrs. Lestrange doing that, but not blackmail.
"But, of course, she can't have telephoned Mrs. Price Ridley and shot Colonel Prothero at exactly the same time," he continued.
Then suddenly he shouted,
"Got it! That telephone call was an alibi. She knew we'd connect it with the first one, so she paid some village boy to make the call for her. And I'm going to find out who."
The inspector hurried off. "Miss Marple wants to see you," said Griselda, appearing at the door. "She sent over a very strange note. For some reason, she can't leave her house. Do go and find out why."
I found Miss Marple in a very excited state.
"My nephew, Raymond West, is coming here today," she explained. "He writes very clever books, though in real life People are not nearly so unpleasant as he makes his characters. Clever young men know so little about life. Was there something you wanted to see me about? I asked. Oh, of course, I had forgotten. Yes, it was about a strange thing that happened last night. I couldn't sleep because I kept thinking about Colonel Protheroe. So I got up and looked out of my window. And what do you think I saw?
I don't know.
Gladys Cram, said Miss Marple, going into the woods with a suitcase. A suitcase? Yes. Why would she take a suitcase into the woods at 12 o'clock at night? I don't expect it has anything to do with the murder, but it is a strange thing. And just now, we must all take notice of strange things.
Perhaps she was going to sleep in the barrow, I suggested.
She didn't, said Miss Marple, because a short time afterwards she came back, and she didn't have the suitcase with her.